Amen. We drilled a water well here a while back in Pakistan, and they right in the middle of the monsoon season turned Pakistan into a lake, pretty much the whole country. And so they all of a sudden they had plenty of water, but it wasn't drinkable. It was contaminated. And so we were able to, they found a high spot and drilled a well so that they'd get fresh water. And thank you, we was able to pay for that. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good. We're going to be looking today at, last week I talked about our core values, talked about love and honor. And this week we're going to be talking about truth and grace, because it's very important for us to understand this. And we want an atmosphere that is pleasing to God. We want to know how to live in an atmosphere in our lives, in our personal lives. We want to know how to live in such a way that the abiding presence of God lives with us. Not just visitation. The abiding presence of God. Amen. Praise God. We're not kids in the middle of a divorce being thrown back and forth from one parent to the other. Amen. Not visitation rights. This is abiding. We live in the house. Everybody say, I live in the house. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have rights as occupants of the house. Hallelujah. When we go through things, we have to really focus on truth. And there are, you know, we hear a lot today about truth. You know, I have my truth. You have your truth. Well, you know, that's kind of a bunch of silliness. But when we understand truth, when we're Christians, we understand that there's natural truth and then there's a greater truth. Okay? And so I want us to kind of look today at the difference. I want you to turn with me to the book of John chapter 10. Start with verse 31. Sometimes we have to come face to face with truth. You know, this week, I got to noticing lately, and you know me as a pastor, I don't hide anything. I'm very real, straightforward. I got noticing lately that I was kind of avoiding the prayer room more. I wasn't spending as much time in prayer. Wasn't spending as much time reading the Word. I was just agitated and nervous, and I just wasn't taking that time. I wasn't making myself, and so I'd pray for a while, but not like I used to, and I wasn't going to the prayer room as much as I needed to. And it was in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what's going on. And this week, I just went before God. I went to my Mishkan. I have a specific prayer room, and I went into my meeting place with God, sit down in the chair I have in there, and I said, God, I'm disappointed. And that's why I haven't been coming in here as much. Because I'm just a little irritated. You ever been there? And some of y'all going, oh. If we don't learn to get honest, we're just going to keep playing the charade. You got to get honest with God. Amen. This thing I've been dealing with has been going on for a year now. And just been one thing after another process. And it's like this never-ending process. And this week they told me that we don't see any end in sight. You know, just, and, you know, it's just all kinds of, you know, and I hate the, when you ask me how I'm doing and is this the last surgery and stuff, and I say, well, no, I just absolutely hate that disappointed look in your eye. Because the last thing I want to do is be a disappointment to somebody's prayer life and somebody's faith. And so I had to come to the place where I said, God, I understand why I'm avoiding praying and reading the Word like I used to, because I feel disappointed. You could have never got me to admit that until Holy Spirit brought it to me, because I feel disappointed. Hear what I'm talking about? Come on. Praise God. I'm straight up with everybody because I want to help you learn how to overcome just like I have to overcome. And there are times in our life when things don't go like we want them to. There's times in our life when it goes way longer than we want them to. And there's times we have to go through things we never wanted to go through. And if we're not careful, our truth begins to slip from a greater truth to a natural truth, and we start getting locked into this world. Our world starts shrinking. And next thing you know, our world is shrunk down to a truth that we only know as far as the world is concerned and as far as the natural is concerned. And we have to just admit that. You know, it didn't bother God at all. He already knew all that. But you have to come face to face with it and confront it. You have to be honest about things. Amen. So I told God, I said, I'm not gonna do that anymore because I realize what's going on. And besides all the anesthesia I've been under for the last how many times, that my ADD has come back exponentially. My memory's good, but my attention span is what? Come on, somebody. Hey, would you, wow, look at squirrel. But I heard something the other day, and this is what I'm talking about. There is truth, and then there's greater truth. And we're gonna get into that here in a little bit. When I was waking up the other day from the anesthesia and all that kind of stuff, I was waking up, and when I finally fully woke up, I told Betty, and Brother Colin, you can pray about this, because I'm not sure really what I understand about this. As I was waking up, there was a word in my spirit when I woke up. And I told Betty after I woke up, I said, there's this word that I heard while I was asleep, and it's just like established in my mind. And I don't know what it means. And I told her, I said, I heard this. All of this is necessary so you can transition into your final position. And that's a word that I woke up with. And of course, I woke up saying, what's necessary and why is it necessary? Because I refuse to believe that God, this is all, plan of God. But he will get glory out of it. Amen. He will get glory out of it. But in John chapter 10 and verse 31, excuse me, Lord, help me just grab hold of this today. See if I've got the right word here. My attention span. You remember I talking about my attention span? And this is not the right scripture. All right. I wrote it down wrong. I want to go to where it says, abide in my truth. Abide in me, in my word, and you shall be my disciples indeed. Where is that? Somebody help me out here. I had it, chapter 8. All right, coming back. Told you my memory's not as bad as my attention span. Chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there are a lot of things that seem true in our lives, okay? When things are going wrong, it is true that they're going wrong, okay? We understand that. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the word that is used here is abide. The original King James says continue. But to abide and continue in my truth, it means to cause your life to dwell inside of the boundaries of his word. Continuing in his truth is to order your life to where your life fits in the word of God, in the boundaries of the word of God. Where that is what you order yourself by, that's what you discipline yourself by, and that's what you live by is the word of God. So if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. In other words, you are my disciples not just because you say you follow me, but you're my disciples in your actions and in your behavior. Indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to look at Proverbs real fast. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hallelujah. All that comes out of giving attention to the word and inclining your ears to a saying, and let our eyes depart from this, and making ourselves abide in the word of God. Okay? Now, in this life, we have experiences and things in our life that are true. And we see them as true. Amen. Denying it isn't going to help you any. Okay? That's not going to help you. Okay? There's a thing we can get into where we deny the reality of what's going on. That isn't always real helpful for you. I understand that. You know, speak those things that are not as though they are. I understand the confession of faith. I understand those things. But if we're not careful, we get to the point where we live in this denial instead of facing up to it and saying, this is what it is. This is the natural truth. But there is a greater truth. That's what I need to look to is a greater truth. Amen. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There is a declaration of truth in those scriptures that says, if you keep your mind in the word of God, then you will be blessed if you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You'll be blessed if you don't stand in the way of the sinners. You'll be blessed, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaf shall not wither. Now, that tree could be surrounded by drought, and that would be truth. But planted by the river of water means that that tree's roots are dug down into a reservoir that doesn't run out. And so there's a greater truth. There might be drought all around me, but the greater truth is I am attached to something that doesn't run out. Therefore, I will bring forth my fruit in my season, and my leaf shall not wither, because the drought does not have authority over my life. The water I am attached to has authority over my life. Amen. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now the word used here, the Greek word used here is aletheia. Aletheia. Something like that. Objectively signifying the reality lying at the basis of an appearance. The manifest, veritable essence of a matter. See, when we look at this live, we look at the things that we're going through, you can see at face value what truth is revealed to you. But are you seeing the veritable essence of the matter? Are you seeing what can't be seen and hearing what can't be heard? See, as children of God, every truth that is presented to us has to be brought into the presence of God and judged against the truth that God has about that situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Subjectively, truthfulness, truth not merely verbal, but sincerity and integrity of character. So Jesus is saying here that you will know the truth. You will know the very basis of an appearance and a manifest, veritable essence of a matter. You're going to be able to see beyond the truth he's talking about. Means that you're going to be able to see beyond the face value of your situation. And you're going to be able to see the very essence of the matter that God is presenting. Oh, you don't, you've got to understand, there is a word past the word of this world. There's a word on the other side of your failure. There's a word on the other side of your sickness. There's a word on the other side of your battle. Because Jesus said you will know the truth, the veritable essence of the matter. And not only that, you will know the very sincerity and integrity of the character of the truth. We're not just bound to what this world says. We're not just bound to the forces of nature that we have to deal with. We always have more than what is obvious. The problem with, I've preached this several years ago. I used to teach this in identity. I used to teach all the time. I taught classes on the identity of Christ, coming into the identity of Christ. And I always had this circle, this big circle. And I have all the blessings and provisions of God written in this big circle. And then right in the middle of it, I'd put a little black dot. That little black dot is your current situation. Now the power of a problem, the power of a natural truth that you're having to face can shrink your world from this big world of God's provision down to the size of that little dot, which is your current situation. When we allow the truth that we're confronted with, the natural truth we're confronted with, when we allow that to become the authority in our life, then we shrink from El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Elohim, the creator God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We shrink from that down to the size of that problem. And we start saying, God, please get in here with me and get me out of this. We start wanting God to come into that little dot and do something. When God's saying, I didn't put you in that little dot, you did. You're in that little dot because that's the truth that you're grabbing hold of right now. He said, I don't live there. I live out here. So what he's saying is, I want to get you out of that little dot of your current situation and circumstances, back into my truth and back into the realm that I live in. Hallelujah. In our minds, something else, they can be so deceitful. And a lot of people, just like me, they'll say, well, this is true. Sure, it's true. But the Bible says that Jesus brought us, Moses gave us the law. In John chapter 1, it says, Moses gave us the law. The law come through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of us don't really understand what that statement means. It means that, like it says in Romans, in the book of Romans, I'm gonna jump to something else right here, which is okay because it's my notes. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Now it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that not truth? It is truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if we stay right there in that truth, we will always be in sin and coming short of the glory of God. Because that is truth. But Jesus didn't just come to bring us the truth of the law. He came to bring us grace and truth. So when truth gets saturated with grace, the truth becomes greater than the truth that this world holds, because now we have went beyond the world's truth and grace has brought us into the truth of God. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And then it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, truth says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then when we look at truth, when grace is applied, then there becomes another truth that says you might have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. A greater truth now has prevailed over the truth that we first knew. and now we are living in a justified state. There is no flesh justified in the law. But in grace, we have now moved into, I am justified by faith. Now the devil come to you and say, you really believe God can just overlook all the stuff you've done? I mean, he'll confront you with your own truth. Things you committed, sins you committed. The devil will confront you with your truth, as they say today. Now, you can either live in that truth, or you can move into grace and truth and turn around and say, yes, that was true, but it's not true anymore because I am no longer in sin. I am no longer coming short of the glory of God. Now I am justified by faith, and I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are cast as far as east is from the west. God doesn't even remember them anymore. He doesn't know who you're talking about. Amen. Like that saying, somebody said, every time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. As Rob said a while ago, the demon said, have you come to destroy us before our time? They have a truth. At one of these days, it's going to be over with for them. Right now, they're trying to blind everybody with a truth that they have power, but there's a day coming when Jesus is going to descend from heaven, clothed in white with a name written on his side that no man can know, dipped in blood, and he's going to come down with a sword proceeding out of his mouth, and he's going to take the devil and all of his angels and lock him up in a bottomless pit. He's going to destroy the enemy that has come against us. There is a truth that overcomes the truth of the present. Let's look at in Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You understand there's two truths here. There's the truth that you were dead in trespasses and sins. But there's a greater truth through grace that says, but he has made you alive. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the nature of the children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, it all depends on where you place, what truth you place yourself in. There is a natural truth that says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. There's a natural truth that says that we come short of the glory of God. There's natural truth that says we fail and we can't quite get there. But then through grace, we are moved into a greater truth, which is the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And when we start looking at the truth that's in Jesus Christ, we begin to see ourselves completely different than what we used to see ourselves, because we are seeing ourselves through the filter of grace and truth, and grace has moved us into Jesus Christ, who he is, and we have what he has. And when we say what he says, then he says what we say. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? When we say what he says, then he says what we say. Hallelujah. He confirms his word. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this fleshly garment that we wear. And we are still in a battle every day of our lives, in our soul and in our body. And our soul and our body have the natural truths of this world. But then when we were born again, we received a new spirit. In that spirit is the heavenly truths of God. And so the heavenly truths of God overpower the natural truths when we decide to come in agreement with what our spirit's saying. And when we come in agreement with what our spirit is saying, then we begin to rise above our natural situations and our natural circumstances. And we start seeing things that we couldn't see before. We start hearing things that couldn't be heard. We start walking in a way that we couldn't walk. And then we start seeing the results of not who we are and what we can produce, but we start seeing the results of what Jesus is and what he can produce in our lives. So when the enemy is trying to get you to buy into his natural truths that he attacks you with, amen, isn't that what he used against Adam and Eve? And isn't that what he confronted Jesus in the garden with, or in temptation? Satan come to him and started trying to confront him with natural realities. Natural realities. But Jesus kept going to a greater reality, which is the Word of God. He just kept answering with the Word of God. And as Satan would try to confront him with a natural truth or reality, Jesus would say, oh, but the Word of God says. And it says the devil got, well, this is Snyder commentary. The devil got frustrated, upset, because he couldn't get him to come in agreement with him, and so he left him for a time. The Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. When we don't buy into his presentation of what truth is. Amen. Well, sometimes the devil can sound so logical. Isn't that right? Especially in the case of people that struggle with depression. The devil begins to try to put his truths in you and tries to get you to buy into his natural version of reality. It's always the same. But we have to decide whether we're going to buy into that or whether we're going to get into grace and be elevated into a more powerful truth. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the natural truth declares to us what is possible in the natural realm. But Jesus overcome the natural laws. He rose above them. And now he declares what the reality of heaven is. And he told us to pray a prayer. And it's this: thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's he saying? He said, listen. In your physical being, you might be held back by the natural laws of this world. But he said you need to call upon the laws of God and say, come into this natural realm. Bring your spiritual laws into this natural realm. And when the spiritual laws of God come into this natural realm, then all of a sudden we begin to rise above the natural reality, and we rise into the spiritual laws of God, and we begin to see things differently, and we begin to experience things differently, because now we have been elevated into who He is and not who we are. Hallelujah. God has, there are so many things that God can do. Amen. And we've got to grab hold of that. We've got to grab hold of that. Hallelujah. In the natural the other day, I had a really rough time. I still haven't found out what actually happened. But I came out of surgery beat up. I mean beat up. I had bruises. I had scratches. I had claw marks behind my ears and on my throat. I was, every muscle in my body was sore. I mean, I got in a fight of some kind. And all I've been able to get was somehow it had something to do with me not breathing and them trying to get the tube back down my throat. Obviously, I wasn't having it. Something happened, I don't know. But it was a rough time. It was a fight. There was a lot took place. It was a much more intense surgery than what I had anticipated or they had anticipated. They had to do a whole lot more. And so when I came out of the operating room, that was my natural reality, was that I'd just been through a real fight. But as they wheeled me out of the operating room, totally sedated, out through anesthesia, I was singing out loud, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And I was preaching the gospel. What is that? There is a truth in the natural realm, but inside of us, there is a greater truth, and it's the name of Jesus. It's the gospel, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And a greater truth always rises if we focus on that. Hallelujah. See, we have to understand that this world will give you a picture that's true. But God is the greatest artist that there's ever been. And He will take that picture. He will take that painting that the world has given you, and He will raise it up and begin to recreate that picture in His version, in His view. And next thing you know, you've got a whole new picture and a whole new painting to look at. Because God says, no, I want to take you beyond that. Hallelujah. See, there's truth. I want to just tell you a crazy story to illustrate that. I was driving, some of you heard this, several years ago I worked for a line crew. I built lines and climbed poles and built lines. And I stayed behind up in northern Missouri. We just finished a big job. And the rest of the team went on into Kansas to start another job. And I stayed behind, and I needed to go through all of the lines that we had built and check everything, make sure everything, every pole was numbered, make sure there was nothing forgotten, make sure all the guy lines were tight. I had to check everything we did and make sure it was good. So when they come to inspect it, our boss wouldn't have problems. And so I'm by myself, and I'm driving back through the country. Well, they threw some lines on there for me to check that we didn't do. And so I went ahead and was inspecting them because they were on my worksheet. And I drove and I drove and I drove back through the country, through fields and going through fields. And I had no idea where I was at because I'd been driving all day through these dirt roads, and I hadn't seen a town. I hadn't seen very many houses. I mean, it was just pretty desolate out there. And all of a sudden, I come to this new road being built across the old road, the old dirt road I was on, and it was about 12 to 15 foot higher, and it was a brand new road this building, but there was nobody around working on it. I had no idea what road it was, where I was at. And the line that I needed to inspect was over here, and it looked just like dry dirt. So I went driving out across there in my two-wheel drive Chevy pickup. And what I suddenly realized was what I thought was dry ground was about that, a crust about that thick over nothing but soupy mud that had no bottom. It was deep. Next thing I know, my pickup is sinking in this mud all the way down on the frame. I opened the door of my truck, and the mud was even with my floorboards. And I got out and was wading around in this deep mud thinking, how am I going to get out of here? This back before the days of cell phones. How am I going to get out of here? It was getting to be evening, and I hadn't seen anybody around that I could go for help. No houses or anything. And so there I sat. I left the truck in gear and got out, and the tires were just sitting there doing this in the soupy mud. Sitting on the frame, just sitting there spinning. No traction. And so I thought, well, I'll start carrying rock, and I'll build a rock up enough where I'll be able to get out of here. So I started carrying rock, and the rock just kept disappearing, disappearing, disappearing. And I couldn't get anywhere with it. And so I was standing there, looking at this situation, thinking, I'm going to end up spending the night out here. And I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even know which direction to start walking to get help. The natural truth was, my truck was stuck. There was no way to get it out. And I was stuck. So I went and got in my truck, and I was sitting there facing this 12 to 15 foot, you know how they do when build new roads, it's just big rocks and stuff, and this big base. And I'm sitting there facing this, sunk in the mud. The natural truth was that this was a hopeless situation for me. Now I'm going to freak some of y'all out really bad. Because I was sitting there in my truck, and the word of God began to come to me. Ask what you shall, will, and it shall be done. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And the word started coming alive inside of me, and I'm sitting there thinking about the word of God, looking at my situation, thinking about the word of God. And I was thinking, well, I'm stuck, but the word says whatever I ask in his name, he'll do it. I'd only been living for God a couple of years. I was a young preacher, about 20 years old. Started preaching when I was 19. I was about 20 years old. And I'm sitting there thinking about the word of God, and it's just really coming alive inside of me. Wow. Whatever I ask the Father in his name, he will do it. And I got to thinking, God could get me out of this mud hole. Angels could help me. I'm not just natural, I am spiritual. I might be stuck in the natural, but there's another level of truth here that I haven't went into. I hesitate telling some of these stories because people has a tendency to not believe stuff like this. You just have to ride with me for a while. Ask Sister Betty. She'll tell you. I sit there in that truck with the word of God getting stronger and stronger in my spirit. until I begin to feel provoked to declare the word of God. And as authority began to rise up inside of me, and as faith began to rise up inside of me. So I did what any of you would have done. I grabbed hold of the steering wheel. It was still in gear, the tires spinning. Grabbed hold of the steering wheel, and I looked around. I knew I was by myself, but I felt really conspicuous. Because what I was about to do was not natural. I had that thing in first gear, the tires sitting there spinning in that thin mud. And I grabbed hold of that steering wheel. I don't know why I didn't put it in reverse. I had it in forward gear, which was heading right toward this big embankment. And I was holding on that steering wheel, and I was declaring the word of God. He said, whatever I ask in his name, he'd do it. And finally, I raised my hand up, and I said, in the name of Jesus, truck, move. And I hit the dash. When I hit the dash, my head hit the back window. That truck come out of that hole, went up that steep embankment, a two-wheel drive truck, and next thing I know, I'm slamming on the brakes because I'm about to go over the other side. I slammed on the brakes. I backed the truck up, turned it off, and got out, went back and looked down there where I was at. I looked at my truck. And all I could do was go around saying, he did it. He did it. I was all by myself, but I was saying, he did it. He did it. I was down there. That was my natural truth. I was stuck in the mud without any hope. But then all of a sudden, a truth came alive inside of me that through grace I've been given access to. And as I access the greater truth through grace, all of a sudden my situation changed. And now I'm sitting on top. I'm sitting on top of what used to be my hindrance. And then all of a sudden I was confronted with something else. I didn't know where that road went or how many miles I'd have to drive on that new road. Plus, it wasn't in good shape. They was just building it. I started looking down over them big rocks, and I thought, I got to get down from here. And so I got in the truck, and I said, God, you got me up here. You got to help me get down from here. And so I drove off of it and went bouncing down over the rocks and ended up back down on the road where I started at and drove back to my motel room. There is a natural truth. But when we're able to move by the grace of God into the truth of God, a greater truth, then our natural situation comes out of the natural laws of this world and comes under the authority of the natural laws of God. And all of a sudden, our situation begins to change. Truth and grace is extremely important. Our walk with God. Truth and grace is not just something that we try to memorize and beat each other up with as we debate our religious doctrines. Truth and grace is what brings you into the realm of God and His provisions and who He is. Amen. I've experienced that so many times in my life, I can't even tell you how many times I've experienced that. That's why this has been such a, this situation I'm going through now has been such a frustration to me, because I've never had to wait like this. I've never had to keep going, and I keep saying, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't. This is not how I want it to be. This is not what your word says, and I want this to line up with what your word says. Hallelujah. And then I wake up the other day with this word in my heart that all of this is necessary for you to transition into your final position. And it's like, okay, let's get to transferring. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know what? One of the greatest battles you can face is learning to praise God when everything, when nothing's going like you want it to. Amen. But I got to tell you something. Things are starting to turn around. Things are starting to turn around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They told me the other day they didn't know how they, that I would have to have these surgeries until this whole thing was healed up inside of me. And they said, and they never told me this part, they said, then we got to send you to another surgeon, and he has to start doing reconstructive surgery in your body to put everything back together. And I thought, you know, that sounds an awful lot like a creative miracle. That sounds an awful lot like a creative miracle. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm gonna declare this to you. I'm not gonna try to dictate my path in front of me. I'm just gonna keep worshiping God, declaring what the Word of God says, and I'm gonna walk in His presence. I'm gonna walk in His glory. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm gonna praise Him. It doesn't matter what takes place, I'm gonna give Him my time. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna seek His faith. I'm gonna have the Word of God burn in my heart. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what my temporary circumstances and says right now, I have by grace, I have a greater truth that says I am in His presence. Amen. Just use myself as an illustration, because many of you are going through worse things than I am. And you need an answer from God. Amen. You need an answer from God. We need answers. We need intervention. We need to see the angels come and shove us out of that muddy pit. Amen. Put us on top. Boy, I tell people all the time, the mountain that crushed you yesterday can be the mountaintop you stand on tomorrow. It all depends on how you respond to the mountain. If you see it as something that's sent to crush you, it'll crush you. But you see something that's sent for something you can climb on, then you'll be on top of that thing in just a short time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're mountain climbers. Praise God. We are mountain climbers. We're not bottom dwellers. We're mountain climbers. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's walking. There's many in this house right now that God's walking you out. Praise God. I can tell you it's turning around. Things are turning around. I've been battling insurance companies. I've been talking to hospitals and doctors, and they're all wanting money. And my insurance company has refused to communicate with me. I've sent emails. I've made phone calls. They refuse to communicate with me or the hospital. Nothing's been happening. I couldn't get any resolve. And the hospital's saying, we need our money. The doctor's saying, we need our money. So I've been sending emails saying, we need our money. No communication whatsoever. Strangest thing I ever seen. Until I got the communication that they were denying coverage. And so I had to start making down payments before these surgeries, and say, well, you're gonna have to make a down payment. And the insurance company said, we're denying coverage. No reason. Oh, we begin to declare that the devil is not going to steal, kill, and destroy. We start commanding that insurance company to let go of my money. The blessing of the Lord belongs to me. He has blessed me. He has provided for me. Hallelujah. All of a sudden I get a letter in the mail detailing all of it. And the first chunk of $31,000 that's owed. That's just the first chunk. We're about twice that now. First chunk that the hospital's been trying to get. And they say we're denying coverage. I got a letter in the mail the other day. And on the bottom line, out of $31,000, all I owe is $3,000. Hallelujah. See, he that walks, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. We are blessed of the Lord. The truth of this world is superseded by the truth of our God. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you're denying coverage. I got an older brother that's not going to like that news. And I got a heavenly father that ain't going to put up with it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God's able. God's able. I know I've preached a long time this morning, but you got. I want you to get a hold of this word. Because many of you are living in a truth right now that seems to be boundaries that have set around your life. But there is a truth that's greater than the boundaries of this world to sit around your life, and it is the word of Almighty God. And we are blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are blessed of the Lord. His blessings have been placed upon us. Father, Lord, I sense in my spirit today that there are people in this house that came not just to be a part of a church service, but Lord, they come because they need answers and they need a touch from you. Father, I thank you for the provision. God, there are people right now that are looking natural truth right in the face, and it is not in their favor. But Father, by the grace of God, we want to come into the truth of the Word of God. We want to know the truth. And we want to know the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you come here this morning saying, God, I need some answers. I need a touch. I need something from you. I want you to get out of your seat and come up here. We got some people that know how to pray. We got people that know how to pray. Get answers this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the reason I'm still here. I was supposed to die last May, but I'm still here. I'm still alive, and I'm prospered. Hallelujah. Why? Because there are prayers that are more powerful than natural truth. There's a word that's more powerful than natural truth. Hallelujah. Come on. There's some folks that come here to say this morning, saying, God, I need something. I need a touch from you. I need an answer from you. God, I need help. God, I need help with these circumstances. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I need help with these circumstances. God, I need help with these circumstances. I need answers today. In Jesus' name, I need answers. Hallelujah. God, I need answers today. Holy is your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Brother Bubba. Holy is your name, Jesus. Come on. There's answers today. Hallelujah. There's answers today.
To Jesus.
Thank you for your answers, Father.